for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. This is the 2006 Memorial Day Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, May the 27th, 2006. Bill Smith is the speaker of the service. He's teaching on God is Building a House.
Yea, I speak unto you, body. Thus saith the Lord, I truly have done a work today in your hearts. Forget not what I say to you. Forget not the hugs. Forget not the tears. Forget not the apologies. For this is a new day, saith the Lord. I wanted to right the wrong, saith the Lord. Today I set you free from these curses. I set you free from these bondages. I say live and not die. And to proclaim the works of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's been a healing and a cleansing this morning. Whether you came up here or not, that has been in this building, a cleansing and a healing of the Spirit to all who would receive this morning. Wonderful, wonderful. The presence of the living God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Bill, come on. We'll take care of the offering when you get through. That's not important right now.
Praise the Lord. We're hearing so much about this being a new day. God is bringing us into areas that we've never been before. Remember the traveling of the ark. Joshua said, kept 2,000 cubits between he and the ark. He said, we've never been this way before. Been walking with God for many years, but I've never been this way before. God is doing a work in his body today. I weep, I grieve over the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for money, but for them. Listen, I could talk to everyone in this room this morning. You would tell me ministry after ministry, people after people. They started out well, but they didn't finish well. But I'm crying out day by day that not only that we start out right, but we finish right. And God has been so dealing with my heart, my life. I tell you, as I come and be with Brother Glenn and Brother Doc, to whom I love so much, I feel so honored every year. These two men of God stay in my home every year. Before Irma went on to be the Lord, there was occasionally Brother Glenn and Sister Irma came by our house on the way to somewhere else and spend the night with us. What an honor. We're not puffing up flesh, but I tell you, honor them that's walking this out in the earth today. My Cajun brother, I fell in love with him since I've been here in this camp. I'm going to get him saved. And he's going to get me saved. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to talk to our hearts. I went to Brother Glenn and asked Brother Glenn if he would release me to go home early this morning. Well, he talked favorable about it. Then he came up here and sat down by me and he didn't talk favorable. So what happened this morning, you left blame Brother Glenn for that. This morning I want to deal with something that I feel is hindering the body of Christ. I know our brother last night, I so enjoyed the word that he brought to us last night. We remember reading John 17, chapter 17, verse 1. And there is such an urgency that's driving in my spirit today. The hour has come. Now, I hear people talking about God is going to. Listen, God is going to is no better than the rapture theory, and Glenn won't let me preach on that. The hour has come, and God is bringing a new day now. I've never been this way where God is taking me today. I've never been brought in my life down to nothing. But God spoke to me and He said, Son, I'm going to remove everything of the flesh, and it's going to be me. We've had mixtures in the body of Christ throughout the land. But God's dealing with the mixture today, and He said, now it's going to be me. Luke chapter 9, verse 58, the Bible says, the birds of the air, they have nest. Huh? And the foxes have holes. But the Son of Man hath no place to lay His head. Today I declare unto you that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. And the body's not going to be a sin, sick, and stained body, but it's going to be a glorious body that's going to look like the head. Now, what's the problem? How many wants to know what a problem is? Everyone raise your hand. I'm real, real, real smart. I know what the problem is. You ready? It's the carryover from the old Adamic nature that we're carrying with us today. That's where our problem is. Now, let's notice as we look into the Word a little further here. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 10. And the Bible says, thou art the Son of Man, show the house unto the house. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Today I have been made an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Today I've been made bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Bone is inwardly, flesh is outwardly. You said it doesn't make no difference. Listen folks, we've been brought to the place that we have power with God and power with man in this earth. To turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children and the hearts of the children unto the Father. They said, you do know that John the Baptist is a reincarnation of Elijah. I said, where'd you pick up that trash at? John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and God's bringing forth the army in the land today that's going to come in the spirit of Elijah. We are not the head, the tail, we are the head, the Bible says. Now, Son of Man, the time has come to show the house to the house. You know, I don't understand why God didn't make me as big as He did some of these brethren we've got here. Everything's bigger and better in Texas, if I've been told that. But you know something? That isn't true. We have people every day that they're always wanting to challenge something. There was a lady that lived across the street from our church. She got up and she said, I've been going to my church for 45 years. But that church across the street from my house, the pastor is a walking Bible. I said, I don't believe that. So She passed away at 92. So then the grandchildren came and said, Brother Bill, we want you to do the funeral because Mother loved you so much. I got in there and I preached the funeral. They came around where I was then and they said, when will you come to our church? I thought, you know, I could preach if I wasn't in a funeral. Sometimes I don't pay no attention, no how. I ain't ministering to that one. I'm ministering to the living. And so, I got there. When are you coming to our church? I said, one of these days I'll come. So then I got over there and they said, when are you coming? I said, well, I am one of these days. They said, yeah, but you're going to, but you ain't never got here. So they called me and they said, this is the day. I said, okay. I got there and all that I heard, I got leaving on my mind. Come on, Southern Gospel is a beautiful harmony and beautiful tune, but there's not much truth in it. And I said, I don't understand why you brought me here. You got leaving on your mind. I got taken over on my mind. Hallelujah to our God. God's raising up men and women that's going to stand and girded with the truth of the living God that's going to turn this world upside down and set up God's kingdom in this earth. Hallelujah. What's the problem? The carryover. This brother ministered a beautiful word yesterday morning. Dealing with the carryover. Huh? There's nothing wrong with God in my life, so I don't have to check up on Him. I don't have to watch Him. I gotta watch this one right here. Now, so, no place to lay His head. I want you to go with me now in Genesis chapter 12. Now sometime, I don't know, we're going to have to kind of condense it down a little bit or something here. My wife, she says, I know you ain't going to look at your watch, but I will wave the calendar. The day's going to pass on you. So that's all right. Genesis chapter 11, verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. In my day as growing up, I hugged my brother this morning because I don't have a dad or a mother. You know, it's odd when we're teenagers, our mother and daddy don't know nothing. And we know it all. But then when we grow up, oh, if I could just ask Mom and Daddy something. Huh? So, the boys around here, you know, being macho, and the daddy was the old man, and the mother was the old woman. Paul the Apostle dealt with this in Romans. He says, knowing that the old man is dead. Now, there is a word that's being dealt with here just in a moment in chapter 12. But I never did know my mother and daddy is the old man and the old woman because I never had but one mother and one daddy, and that was my mama and my daddy. But now, Paul says the old man. Brother and sister, we are going no further until we bury the old man Smith. Now, I want you to know God is fixing to bring a great nation. But the old man was tagging along. And then when he buried him, verse 1, chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. God is raising up a great nation. My daughter, I have brought thee out to bring thee in. Thou shalt not return home in the atmosphere and in the realm that thou didst turn here. Because you see, thy God has set thee free from the hitching post. and thou art no longer there, thou shalt move in me and follow me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Ikataye. Abraham, get out of here. Separate yourself from your kindred. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, go with me in the Romans chapter 6, in verse 6, I think we all know what that scripture says. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we serve not. That we serve, should not serve sin. Now, so then there has to be a bearing of this old nature of ours. It's not anybody else, it's me, O Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. Now I want you to go with me into the book of Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. In verse 34. I'm going to skip up to verse 32. No, I need to skip up verse 30. It's all good. And now though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou hast longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Does your Bible read that way? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldst take by force thy daughters from me. You see, it takes a crook to deal with a crook. The very word Jacob means supplanter, trickery, treachery. Laban changed his wages 10 times. He knows he's dealing with a crook. You know how he went and got the spotted cattle? And on and on. But now, notice what's happening. So let's look at verse 32. With whomsoever thou findest thy God, let them not live. Oh my Jesus. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me. And take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel has stolen them. How many will agree with me that Jacob is the type of the church? I mean, not Jacob, but Rachel is the type of the church. Listen, she's the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph, the fruitful bough that runs over the walls. Here is Benjamin, a raving wolf, Genesis 49, a raving wolf, gather the spoils and then divide them. You know what that sounds like to me in Revelation 11:15. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angels, and the kingdom of God, this world shall become the kingdom of our God. And nothing's going to give up and fall to our feet. Brother, I'm here to tell you, Psalm 24 verse 1, the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The devil is an intruder. He don't belong here. This belongs to God. Who's going to put him out? You and I are in contact with this earth that's mine and your job. So now, Rachel, you sweet little thing, you. You got a great pedigree. But she, notice what she's done. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tent. But he found them not. Then went he to Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, and put them in the camel's tent. furniture. And he set upon them, and Laban searched all the tent and found them. Now, was that a carryover from where she came from? Brother and sister, this is our problem today. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the Word. The problem is here we carry over from that old Adamic nature. In Adam all die. In Christ all is made alive. That's why I don't know why it wasn't made bigger than some of I am. Man came to our church, a big preacher from out of North Carolina. Oh, he was a big one. Was that word to the church? And he said, let me share a revelation with you. He said when Adam, after he was 100 years old, he bore a son. He bore a son in perfection. I said, you forgot to read. All in Adam die. All in Christ is made alive. I want to live. I want to live in the life of God. I want God's life to live in me. I was sharing with my Cajun brother here. I had to go take a physical. So the doctor, I thought he was through, told my wife, I said, well, we can go now. We're through. He said, no, I'm not through with you. I said, well, he's not through with me then. So I went back in there. He looked at me and went to grinning. He said, you don't even have a cataract. I said, I didn't come on to take on nothing out there. Now I have a question. How did you get in the shape that you're in? I looked at him and I said, well, by preaching a lot and by fishing a lot. I got home and I said, Norman, I'm about halfway stored in because me and you ain't getting to fish a lot. Now it's story time. There were 12 apostles to the Lamb. Was that correct? All right. Now, will you also agree with me that they were three that walked in the inner circle with Jesus? Peter, James, and John. What was their occupation? Oh, yes. Why were they fishermen? I think Doc goes out there and looks at my boat when he's at my house. Now, I've got a story to tell you. The reason why God loves fishermen. Peter, James, and John. They can tell this. How many knows when you catch that big one, sometimes you find hook marks in there. How did they get big? By getting away. Is that right? How many fishermen in here? Hallelujah. Brother Doc, you didn't see none of them fish on my wall. Now, so you're fishermen. So Peter, James, and John walked in the inner circle, and they're fishermen. And why God loved them, and He took them of a Mount Transfiguration. God loved them because they could tell the greatest story how the big one got away. How did he get away? Death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold him. He come out of there. He rose the third day. Hallelujah. Now, you see where we are today? We're bringing that carryover, and I'm saying, God, I empty everything down at your feet, and now wash me with the water of the Word. Cleanse me from who I am, what I am today, that I can walk in your life. Hallelujah. I'm tired of Bill Smith. I want to see no more of him. I want to see Jesus. So, Rachel, as sweet as you are, you can't steal anything carried over from where you came from. Huh? Brother and sister, what you're dealing with now is what you carried over. But you know, the other night, it's dark as pitch, sitting in my floor, my bedroom, and I said, God, you have reduced me to nothing. Listen, when you see something, I don't know, maybe you've grown beyond that. Where that your life has been for 36 years. And then you see every bit of it torn and dissolved. Roof, sides of the brick of the church broke off and tore down. I sit there in a ball like a baby. You say, you sure didn't have faith. Don't holler too loud until the bird gets in your moccasin. But you know what? I sat there on the floor. God said, I'm reducing you to nothing.
Why? Because the mixture that we've been carrying over is what's hindering us from not growing on up in God. Now, what is God doing? God's building a holy temple. Hallelujah. He's building out of lively stones. Now, I want you to go with me into the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I figure most of you know where I'm heading for. Chapter 2, verse 5. And ye are lively stones. The first time I went to minister in New York, they looked at me and they said, "Why, you're a Texas hurricane." I said, "We are tearing down the kingdoms of this world and they're becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and we shall reign forever and forever." God is raising up a people that He can reign through. We thank God for this beautiful building. I've been coming here since 79. Thank God for it. I've ministered in this building right here when the first two rows and them tables were completely full of people and all the way to the back of the wall. I've ministered to them right here. But I want to tell you something. God is raising up a quality in the earth that's never been before. Because why? God's raising up warriors. Now, how many has ever read Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30? God sought for a man. Now, have you ever looked up that word man in the Hebrew? It means He sought for a champion. God is looking for warriors today that's going to bring this religious system down. That's going to bring her down underfoot and we'll walk over it. There are some Caleb and Joshuas today that's going to stand in this earth beholding the Lamb of God. So, we see your lively stones built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know what has thrilled me since I've been here in camp this time? I look at that course chart there. I see truth after truth after truth. Not only are we preaching it, but we're singing it. Come on, folks. Brother, this is going to be brought about with worship. How many knows in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, and God said, "I will restore the tabernacle of David." Hallelujah. That's not just an ark. That is worship. How many remembers when David had cried out to bring the ark back home? There's not, it's just like, man was going to be real spiritual to me. I was flying back from Central America. He said, "Preacher, is God going to restore the Temple of Solomon?" I said, "Sir, God's no more interested in the Temple of Solomon than the outhouse right in the middle of this plain. God is building His dwelling place. This is the house of God. This is where God lives. This is where God manifests Himself." Hallelujah. So David said, "How are you going to do it?" "As in the days of old." "How are you going?" "I'm going to restore it." David cried out and said, "How can I bring the presence of God to me?" Did you know that the ark was that Kajak germ for almost 100 years? Now when you read in the King James and the old wording, it almost sounds like 20 years. But you look at many translations, James, Fawcett, Brown, and Ludlum, and it says it's almost 100 years. Now, Kajak Jerem is only 8 miles from Zion. Look in your Bible maps. Brother and sister, Zion is the dwelling place of God. Zion is where the authority of God is delegated from. And David long for the presence of God. Saul was king for 40 years and never inquired of the Lord. Read the book. Never even inquired of the Lord. So, have you ever made a mistake since you've been a Christian? Huh? David. So he listened, the presence of God were stirring, they've gone all to pieces. Broke his hands off, he couldn't minister. Then they sent him back up, broke his head off, broke the between the head and the body. You're dead, brother, when you lose your head. And David, but guess what? He copied the Philistines. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I live in an asphalt jungle in that big old metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, David copied the Philistines. And he just made a new ark, or cart rather. And so he put the ark upon the cart, and Ohio was driving. What you need to do is you need to look up that word, see what it means. He is Ichabod's brother's son. What a pedigree. The glory has departed. So, here we are again. What do we see today? I see people every day and still building a presence for, and we'll prepare for anything, but we never prepare to meet with God. And we see today, everybody is getting a bigger ark, bigger cart, a prettier one. Why? We're going to put the presence of the Lord in it. Let me tell you something. I'm in the jungles of Mexico. There'll never be electricity there. It's too far back. I get a lot of money for going in there and minister to them people. Their walls consist of mud and bamboo and old worn out tarps that come from the dump ground. That's why you're not going there, because there's a lot of money. And them are big condominiums. I get to live in them. Get big offerings. But I want to tell you, the other day, here a while back, the lady that's over the work there, her and her husband, she run around there like this here. And I said, ¿Qué pasó? What's happening here? She said, you know, Canosa, I don't know what's happened. So I got to start early in the afternoon at 3 o'clock because dark gets there and we ain't got no light. It's kind of hard to read with a torch. It's been down in kerosene or diesel fuel. So, we get very familiar scripture, so if we can't see to read, we can go ahead with it. I was preaching my heart out, and all of a sudden, she come running down the aisle between the benches out under the stars. There wasn't no stars shining yet. Run up there to me, and she said, Mika Vesta, Mika Vesta, and that head was upright. Who prayed for her? Who laid hands on her? Nobody. God did the work. Brother and sister, God's going to do the work as long as He can trust us that He can do the work through us. Don't tell me. I was in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, preaching a convention. Lady fell out of her seat into the floor. I picked her and put her back into her seat. I said, I rebuke death and I command life. I don't know what was wrong with her. So the pastor says, her children don't like us. So we better send her and get her checked out. So they took and checked her out after we prayed for her, and they couldn't find nothing wrong with her. So she's back in service that night. God's going to do everything through us that He can trust us with. But you know what I did, Brother Cajun? I said, you know, I was the one laid hands on her. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Oh, I laid hands on her. God raised her up. Then I got my ego patted a little bit more. They printed some course books and put me, my wife, and my baby daughter's picture on the front of the course books in Grantsville, Maryland, and said, the man with the plan. Boy, I said, ain't not hot now. The man with the plan, that ought to seal it up. And about that time, I was like Samson. When I shook myself again, nothing happened. Come on. Then God can let you sit on a newspaper and hang your feet off. He can bring you down that low. But bless your heart. God's bringing the vision. I want to bring you that I can trust you. I can display myself through you. I can reveal myself through you. I can heal through you. And it don't bother you one bit. Every day of my life, I'm crying out, God, bring me to the place you can trust me. So David got 8 miles to go. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, hear me. We're closer to this move of God than you think that we are. 8 miles. I want you to know 8 is the day of new beginning. There were 8 souls that brought out of the ark and the flood. And there 8, David was the 8th son. Hallelujah. David was the 8th. Now, a little further over, I don't know how I'm going to get all this together. How many remembers when David sought God and he went back into the book of Numbers and he found out that the priest is to carry that ark upon their shoulders? Now, that then was the real to them but a shadow to us. Now today the ark of the covenant is in you and I. This is the tabernacle of God. Now, so David went and he prayed and sought God, and he sought God after due order. Then what did he do? He brought forth 8 men. 2 priests. I think it's Numbers chapter 10, verse 55. Said that only the Levites are to bear the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders. So, here we go. Here's 8 men. 2 priests. And 6 Levites. And they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant. Brother, they got into divine order. And when you and I get rid of the carryover, God's going to fill us with His fullness. Hallelujah. Our emptiness awaits for His fullness. John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase that I decrease. But you see, now, in our place, if it's been involved in a bunch of garbage, they don't get to go to the pulpit. But of course they tell stories on pastor, he's jealous of his pulpit. I said, oh no, I don't care who rolls the ball just along this road. Now, here we are today. God is reaching out into you and I today to bring us where we've never been before. It's new ground. I can remember in Oklahoma as a child. My dad would tear up, we had a lot of cattle. He'd tear up all of the old new grounds, get the stumps and trees out of there, and plant hay for feed so we wouldn't have to buy as much. Brother and sister, we're tearing out a few stumps as we're going through. But we can't turn and go back. Our focus and our course is straight forward. You remember the formation of the Christ in Ezekiel chapter 1? When it saw all of the living creatures? And it stopped the whirlwind? They saw Jesus in the book of Matthew as the Lion of the tribe of Judah? They saw Jesus in the book of Mark as the servant? As the oxen? Saw Him in the book of Luke as the Son of Man? Then he saw Him in the book of John, the flying eagle. He's above all, born from above. No defeat in the book of Genesis. It starts in dateless time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. In the beginning. Can anybody measure that time? Hallelujah. And God, could you handle it if I said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so David said God's going to restore it as in the days of old. In Acts chapter, in chapter 15, gives an account of the same scripture again. Let me tell you something. What was in the natural, God is restoring in the spirit. Come on. He's restoring in the spirit. And I want to tell you folks,
Seek the face of God. Ask God to empty Himself into you. But oh God, help us to be in position that God can trust us. You know, I grew up as only one boy, five sisters. So you think you know my problem, don't you? Tell you one worse than that. I was born in Oklahoma, grew up in California, and lived in Texas since I was a teenager. So you see, I'm all messed up. But I want to tell you something. You look into the Word of God, and the Bible said He's always used those are nots. Did you know that? These are not. So God uses these are not. But you know why? God's bringing us to the place that He can trust us. Hallelujah. My little granddaughter looks at me and says, Poppy, I'm going to be a preacher. I said, honey, you'd be better than Poppy. But I want to tell you something, folks. God is building a great house today. Remember again Ezekiel 43, verse 10. The hour has come to show the house unto the house. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is that house. Now, He's measuring us according to the pattern. People say to me, Brother Smith, how do you know that ain't God? I said, I already weighed it by the Word. I already measured it. So this is where we're at. Now, let's go on a little further. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on Him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which is obedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has made the head of the corner. Everywhere that I travel, I see a lot of churches is named after St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Luke. Occasionally you'll see one of Bartholomew. But you know how I deal with that? I don't want to curse this morning. How I deal with that is this. You remember when Mary ran to Jesus and said, there is no more wine. So Jesus turned the water into wine, and that was the best wine saved the last. Where do you think you're at now? You're living in the last day in the new wine dispensation. So, after all, mommy's got to help him. So she was telling him, well, we have no more wine. He said, woman, what do I have to do with thee? Is that right? So all of a sudden what was taking place, Jesus was breaking ties from His mother because His mother had to be redeemed unto God. We see people across this nation praying unto Mary, and brother, that's not going to get it done. There's only one mediator between God and man, that man Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man jumped on me last week, said, you ain't baptizing right. I said, are you yet so carnal? I said, I'm not so much worried about the baptism. I'm worried about how you're going to walk after you come out of there. Don't you ever put more emphasis on the water than you do the blood. Hallelujah. So how are you baptized? In water? Huh? So, how many knows God will just get you into a fix with nothing to fix it with? Call me 3 times last week. Brother Bill, we got a big problem here and we can't handle it. We get up to minister and there's a lady in witchcraft is sitting there and she's got a hood over her face and she's got a little tent there and she's sitting there mumbling to herself in witchcraft. I said, but brother, you dance and you tap the carpet. How come you don't know how to deal with that? Brother, it takes the authority of God to deal with demons. If you don't have the authority of God, don't be playing. Because you're going to wind up naked and stripped. So, I said, I'm sorry, but I can't come. So then, sister got bad. She flew to Indiana. The pastor's wife did. So she called me from Indiana. She said, are you going to get to go over and help straighten out that lady?
I said, I'm sorry, sister, but I've already promised Brother Glenn. And Glenn, he couldn't know if he could trust me or not. He called me and said, I was coming. You know why? Because I've let Glenn down before. But I've tried to call him in ahead of time. Why? You see, folks, don't this praying church is over with. Brother, God's building a holy habitation of God through the Spirit. He's raising up a church that's full of His glory. That's a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. Hallelujah. But, so, when they had their friends there, a parade of flesh, I got my cell phone, I got my Bible, and I walked out. Because Brother Glenn Miller is the head of this assembly here. The only authority that I have is by submitting to His authority. Let's get this all in biblical pattern. As I submit to Brother Glenn, and then God gives me authority in Lake Hamilton. Well, but you see, now let's look on a little further. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even so them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. Huh? A royal priesthood. Now, why did he say royal priesthood? He's speaking of the Melchizedek order. Under the Levitical priesthood, there never was no perfection. All the animal sacrifices never took away sin. It covered them year by year. Every one of them, when Jesus went into the lower parts of the earth, then ascended into the heavenlies and applied the blood to the mercy seat, those patriarchs that had those credit vouchers, God redeemed them. How about that? God redeemed them. So, of course, I almost got whipped in Elk Park, North Carolina. I guess they think I'm too fast. Maybe that's the reason they don't whoop me. And they said, getting their prayer shawl, putting that little cap on, and get down to the rock altar. I said, if you're going to keep on practicing Judaism, you're going to have to start offering up animal sacrifice, and I'll tell you, God wiped those altars clean. When John the Baptist cried out and said, behold that Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, no longer covered, they're wiped clean. Yes. Now, back to my hee-haw joke. Y'all would never watch that. You're too spiritual. Wasn't it Dr. Peabody or it was? Come running out and said to the doctor, every time I do this, it hurts. He said, well, quit doing it then. Brother and sister, you can offer up these animal sacrifices, this Judaism, all this stuff. It's going to get you nothing. Only the blood of Jesus is going to get the job done. Sister, don't you think you need to pray that I get bigger? Huh? But you see, I tell them all the time, before you whoop me, I want to tell you something. I may not be big, but I'm fast. I'll get you before you get me. Huh? Listen, I'm learning. This is kind of confidence that I get. Man came out there to my house week before last, and he said, when are you going back to Mexico? I said, pretty soon, I got some meetings, and then after that, I've got to go back into Mexico, check on churches. He said, I'd like to go down there with you, but they're killing people down there. Isn't that encouraging? You've all heard that what they're doing, they're killing the people. But brother, I'm watching the uniforms, and I'm watching the vehicles, I'm watching the signs to see if it's real or if it's a trap. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will tell me whether it is or not. I'm not in a guessing game. I don't believe in being a guessing game. I'm moving in the realm of the Spirit, and God can tell me what's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's better than snuff. It ain't near as dusty. Hallelujah. But you see people every day playing around. Playing around. Playing church. Practicing. On and on. Let me tell you something. God's building His dwelling place today. This dwelling place that God's raising up today is nobody's poor kin, folks.
But I'll tell you, we're conquerors and more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Now, I want to get one more scripture at least. I'll tell you, I got a lot here that I never did get to. Now, in the book of Galatians, let's look here. Now, I'm sorry. I want the book of Ephesians. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1 and then go to Galatians later. Verse 18. Now, it says, and the eyes of your understanding. Now, what is that? It's light. Through your eyes speaks to you of revelation. Revelation chapter 3. What does he say? You say that you're increased with goods and you got need of nothing. What did God say then? You're wretched, you're miserable, and you're undone, and you pray that your eyes should be anointed with eyesight, which is speaking of the revelation of the Lord. Paul is praying the priestly prayer in Ephesians 1. That the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I'm just a little nothing, just waiting for the devil to pick on me. And if I keep on enduring, I'll get raptured out. He won't let me preach on the rapture. The general don't let this peon preach on the rapture. But I think you already know. I don't want to miss him. I don't want him to be coming, me going. Hallelujah. I want to walk with him and walk up to date with him. I tease my brother because a lot of you don't know these two men here like we know them. If you need somebody to pray to get you through, you'd have to call no further than right here. No further. They don't only pray, they don't only talk it, but they walk it. Now, this is what God is after. Some people, your actions are so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Now, let's notice as we look on down a little further. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. What was our brother preaching last night about position? On position? At His own right hand. All right? Put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Do you know what you need? You need God plus nothing else, because God's going to bring us through. What God has promised you, He's able to perform. I preached a message right here years back out of the book of Romans chapter 4. Went into the book of Hebrews. Brother Glenn, the message that I preached, a faith that does not stagger. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, was strong in faith, giving God the glory that what God had promised, He's able to perform. Now what the book says, man called me, I believe it was from Des Moines, said, Brother Bill, you don't know me, but I got your tape from Lake Hamilton. I had cancer. I went upstairs to my bedroom and I put the tape on. I listened to the tape and the tape is this, a faith that does not stagger. He said, Brother Bill, he said, God has healed me. I've never seen the man. Never seen the man. Brother and sister, it's come to a time that you and I are going to stand and deliver. Aren't you glad I'm leaving? Hallelujah. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I know in Oklahoma and Texas, all it means all of it. Now, let's notice verse 19. And now therefore ye are no more, did I tell you Ephesians? Therefore no more stranger than fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God.
and are built upon the foundation. I never will forget, Bob Mumford was Brother Glenn's friend at one time. So was he mine. Bob Mumford was preaching in New York. Then he came over to Arlington, and that's when I met Glenn for the first time in the convention center. There's a seminar going on. Brother Bob Mumford was teaching. And I didn't know Glenn, but I talked to him out there beside the Winnebago because he had the bookmobile. So Bob Mumford said, "What do you think is wrong with what's going on today in the body of Christ?" I raised my hand and I said, "They didn't build upon the foundation." He said, "Bill, I didn't want it all at one time. Brother and sister, if you're not built upon the foundation, the storm is coming and your foundation will be moved." But what are we doing? We're digging down deeper and deeper today, and we're founding our foundation upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. As Paul the Apostle said, "And that rock that followed them was Christ." Now, build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, how is this going to be this? Because God's not going to clutter up His house. Brother and sister, if you're not willing to get rid of the carryover, you'll stay where you're at. That's just as simple as it is. But brother, God's calling for you and I to lay down everything that's not of Him. Now, how many of you know people that started out real well? Man, they were just on fire. How many, you know Jack Harris? One of the greatest men that I've ever known in my lifetime. I called him and talked to him before I came down here. Brother Jack says, "Well, Bill, tell you how you do it." "All right, Brother Jack, tell me how you do it." He said, "When they get saved," he said, "take the tempter. 1 year later, take the tempter again and see if it's moved." Huh? Brother and sister, God is building a habitation that's of Him. That we're going to speak the Word. We're not beggars, but we're possessors of all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given it to us. Well, I know I'm going to quit. You won't get mad at me if I give one more scripture, will you? Now, how many in here you know of people that started out well, but they didn't finish well, did they? Huh? I know ministry in our own city. Since they've been pastoring, they've been married 4 times. Is that an example? Brother and sister, not only do we start out well, but God's looking for a people that's going to finish. Finish well. But you know what? Since God laid me on the floor, first I was walking, preaching, slinging my hand in the night in my own bedroom. Yeah, I had never done that before. And God spoke to me, gave me a word. I'm glad He's got a Bible written after Him. The Thompson Bible. I got one too, brother. I don't have a Bible, but I got a Smith's Dictionary. Is that correct? Huh? Brother and sister, my heart's crying. I'm set my face like a flint. I don't expect nothing to turn me around. I'm going to see the end of this by the delegated authority in Jesus Christ. Now, I got to read that one more scripture. Glenn said I could. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. I'm sorry, it's 11:13. Now, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers, pilgrims on the earth. But we read to you in the book of Ephesians that you can't claim that. You are no longer a stranger or sojourner. But we are built up of the household of faith. Praise the Lord. Now, they did not receive the promises. Brother and sister, I want the promises of God, and the Bible says they're yea and amen. I don't want to finish partially done. How many remembers Ephraim? He belonged to a good daddy. Joseph. But the Bible said he was a cake unturned. He's only cooked on one side. You didn't know your peanut preacher knew that much, did you? Half done. I said, God, I surrender. I surrender. I submit to you. Whatever you need to do, just go ahead and do it. If I squeal like a pig under a fence, don't pay no attention to it. God, we're getting down to business. Because I want you to display yourself through me. Everywhere I go, I said, God, let me bring revival. And I hope and pray that I've been a blessing to you. But folks, let us go on unto perfection. Isn't that what the writer of the book of Hebrews says in 6:1? Let us go on. Let us go on. Let's journey on. How many is going to deal with the carryover? Let me tell you something. In closing the second time, how many has ever read in the book of Hebrews, Brother Glenn, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, are end of life, but abideth a priesthood continually? What's he talking about? He's talking about the Melchizedek order. I went in and hugged Sister Mildred. She's been like a mother to me. Even though I haven't forgiven her for pouring a whole bottle of oil on me, she said, you're one of these front runners and I'm going to anoint you for the job. She did it in the fellowship hall. I love my mother, my father. My mother was the intercessor of God and my father was a great father. But Brother Glenn, I don't want nobody to chase me back to my mother and my father. I want you to find my roots in the eternal God, without father, without mother, beginning of days or end of life, but alive right of the priesthood continually. Hallelujah. I don't want you to trace me back where I came from. Find my roots in God. Stand with me. Oh, wait a minute. Brother Glenn's got to take offering. Sorry. Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.